You're listening to Crosspoint Community Church in LaGrange, Texas podcast. To learn more about Crosspoint Community Church, including service times and how you can connect, please visit crosspointchurchtx.org.
Well, good morning. Happy New Year again. Last week, you got to hear from my friend James Hahn. And they're in for a few more weeks, but I'm glad y'all got to be here, participate in that. And as you know, if you were here, we weren't able to live stream that due to what he does and what his family does and to serve the persecuted church. And so I hope that you heard from him and that you were challenged by him and encouraged by him and his family. And they enjoyed being here with you guys and worshiping with us. And anyway, so James and his family is a good time. Today we're gonna kind of think about what has God been doing at Crosspoint? I've been here officially now a little over 8 years, which is crazy to think about. Somebody asked me not too long ago, how long have you been here? And I was like, 4 or 5 years. And Becky was around. She goes, 8. And I was like, I guess I'm having so much fun. It just is speeding up. And so anyway, so 8 years ago, whenever we got here, we moved here from Denver, Colorado. I'd been at a church up there. A sizable church, and always been in the city. And so when God began to move our hearts toward what was next in our life and ministry, he began to lay LaGrange on our heart. And we're like, God, do you know about LaGrange, Texas? Like, you know, we're not supposed to, you know. And anyway, growing up in South Texas, we'd always come through here. And so we would always stop at the Dairy Queen in town, praise the Lord, right? Because you had to have a blizzard on your way. And so we would stop and we'd do that. But when we first got here, almost 8 years ago, this was the size of the church. Like, this was it. And so, like, 85 people voted on us to be here. And there was one child in the nursery, which is crazy to think about. And that was Jonathan and Hannah's little girl, Sparrow. And so we had to update the nursery because we had one child. And I think this last year, there's like 25 to 30 kids born in here. And so it's been awesome to see what God's been doing in our midst. Over the last 8 years, there's been close to 150 to 200 that have been baptized through the ministry here. It's been fun to see. Yeah, it's good stuff. One of our favorite things as a team is to see they're all special, but in particular, whenever a father is baptized and saying, hey, I'm taking that step of faith, I'm owning my faith, and they begin to then, in that same moment, begin to baptize their family as a whole as well. And so you can just see, for me, my pastor heart is I love to see the legacy begin to change and how that impacts the family as the family together applies the gospel to their family and how that changes how they love each other, care for each other, and all the different things, the dynamics that go about that. And in many ways, what happens then in those cases is that maybe a house that's a house of chaos begins to be kind of like a house like what James talked about, that the Muslim couple that was drawn to the gospel, that was drawn to Jesus, was because their house was a house of peace. And that there's this sense. And so that's one of the things that Becky and I have, over the years, we've loved hosting people and having people over. And that's one of the consistent things that people have said about us, even though we're chaotic people and we're crazy, that it's a house of peace. And so we love being able to host people and be able to do those fellowships. And so it's been fun to see what God's been doing in our midst as far as missions. Over the last 8+ years, we've taken almost 20 mission trips to Puerto Rico with our partnership there with Vision Puerto Rico and seeing what God's been doing. As a matter of fact, in a couple of weeks, there's 10+ going to Puerto Rico again and serving there. And so if that's something that you are interested in, one of the cool things, one of our core values here is to get a passport, and that's because we believe that we should be living life on mission. And so that doesn't mean just in LaGrange, I mean, as far as your neighbors go, but it means have an opportunity to do that around the world. And so if you have a passport, you're ready to go. You're ready to answer the call and to go and to do that. And even a few years ago, we had a young lady, and I'd been here maybe a year. And it was in the middle of VBS, actually. She had come home from college and was here for VBS and was like, what are you going to do? And her summer internship had fallen through. And I'm standing right here about to come up on stage to say welcome for VBS. And a friend of mine, who actually he's going to be here in a few weeks. He's a missionary to Central Asia. He'll be here in a few weeks and you get to hear from him. We have just partnered with Myanmar over there. We're going to be doing a medical clinic and stuff, which we'll talk more about. But anyway, Alan, my friend, texted me. He said, hey, Chris, I'm kind of in a crunch. I need a college student to go to the Central Asia and basically be a missionary for the summer. He's like, do you know anybody? And I was like, I don't know. And this young lady walks in front of me, like literally right at that moment. And I was like, and I stopped her and I was like, hey, what are you doing this summer? And she's like, my internship just dropped. And I was like, do you think your parents will let you go to Cambodia? And she was like, I don't know. And I was like, let's ask them, you know? And I was like, do you have your passport? And like, yes. I was like, awesome, check one. And so anyway, literally within 72 hours, she had a plane ticket and was ready to roll to Cambodia, so Siem Reap and some other places that she was at. And she spent the entire summer as a missionary there. And that was because she was prepared and she was ready to go. And it was fun to see that and continue to do that. And so we now have mission partnerships, obviously, in Puerto Rico. We've served all over Puerto Rico. We have a mission partnership with an orphanage in Zimbabwe. And so some of you give monthly support to support the kiddos there. There's about 40 kids currently. And this, what the 40 kids, and it costs us $40 a month. And that $40 a month supports the kids. It feeds them, and it also clothes them and puts them in school. And it radically changes their world and changes their life. And so this missionary, this orphanage, we say orphanage, but it's a caring, they call them caring centers, and it's for young people. And if you don't know about Africa, many of these young people, their parents can't afford them, and so they drop them off in the wilderness or drop them off somewhere, and or their parents have died because of AIDS. And so they're literally by themselves trying to figure it out. And so this is a place that they're going to learn about Jesus. They're going to be cared for by a husband and wife that love them and care for them. And we were able to kind of come alongside and support them. And so if that's something you're interested in, we'd love for you to be think about that and part of that. That's on the website as well. And then we also have this new partnership with Myanmar. And in Myanmar, anytime we do a partnership with missions, we make at least a 10-year commitment. Because we don't want to just pop up. We want to build friendships and be able to do those things. And so over the next few years, we'd like to build a medical clinic in Myanmar. And the region is, or the city is called Pathin. And it's on the kind of the southern tip. And if you don't know where Myanmar is at, maybe you know where Thailand is at. And so Thailand, Myanmar is north of that. And anyway, and so we're going to be, actually I'm leaving in the middle of March, and we're going to take a few people over there and begin that process. And so it's you'll hear more about it in the future days, but we're excited about those different partnerships and stuff. And so we're open to what God wants us to do, but we believe that we should be missionaries to our neighbors across the street and around the world. And one of the ways that you can possibly do that is to get your passport and be ready. And so today I want us to think about three things as we think about the future at Crosspoint. God's done a lot of amazing things. I don't want to brag, feel like we're bragging, but I do want to point to things what God has been doing in our midst and that we're so grateful for in that. And so we have a wonderful student ministry. Y'all have met Kenny up here. He was playing the straight man today for some reason. And then we have a wonderful children's ministry with Carrie, and then Woven, you know, as part of our women's ministry and all those different things. And so we have a wonderful team of people that do things. And even our digital campus, you know, we already had it. We were already on Facebook before COVID, and then when COVID happened, it just kind of exploded. And it's been phenomenal to see what God's been doing in our midst in those ways as well. And so anyway, so three things I want you to think about today. Number one is the Great Commission. Number two is the Great Command, and number three is the Great Compassion. And so I want you to think about those different things, and what does it mean for us to be people of Christ and to follow the great Commission, the Great Command, and the Great Compassion that God has for us. And so the first verse is in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. And if you've been around church for a little bit, you've probably heard this verse. And it says, go, which means it's an action for us. This is the very last word. So let's say this. It's the second to last words that Jesus offers to his disciples. All right? And so this is the last one that they're all kind of gathered together. They realize he's resurrected. They've spent some time with him, and he's kind of sending them away with some final words. And this is the second to last thing that he says. And he says, go. I've been given all authority on heaven and in earth, so therefore he has authority to say these things. And he says, and under that authority, you're my ambassador. Go, therefore, and make disciples. And what does it mean to be a disciple? It means to be a student. And in Jesus's day, to be a student of someone meant that you had to qualify. So the disciples of Jesus actually weren't qualified to be rabbis according to the current standards of the day. They hadn't passed the test to go to seminary. They weren't, whatever, smart enough to have retained enough of the Torah to know the different things. And so whenever that little assessment came up, they got to stop at eighth grade and go to trade school. And so they were fishermen, they were carpenters, they were doing their different things, and they weren't going to be going to Harvard or Princeton or whatever. And so that's part of the radical thing, is that Jesus comes in as the great rabbi, as the great teacher, and he says, everyone is qualified to be called to ministry if they love Jesus, if they're open to God. And so that's this radical thing, because people are looking around going, you're a rabbi and those are your students? Like, those guys smell like fish. Jesus is like, exactly. I want my disciples to be of the world. I want my disciples that you can see that they've been radically transformed, and that they are worldly people that have been transformed by the gospel of grace. And so here they are. Go therefore and make disciples and to sit. And so this idea of being a disciple is to sit and to be a student of someone and to sit at the feet. And so that they would literally have the dust of the rabbi, that you would follow so closely to your rabbi that as they walk, the dust of that rabbi as they kicked up would get on you. And that as you began to teach and as you began to do things, you would emulate and mimic the rabbi that was teaching you, so that several generations later, that they would be able to say, hey, you are a student of Rabbi Gamaliel. And you go, yeah, but I'm also a rabbi, student of Rabbi Matthew, and all the little processes. And because Rabbi Matthew was such a good student of Gamaliel, he had so emulated and taught the stories and everything just like Gamaliel did. Four generations later, as a rabbi, you would be in that lineage, and they could tell that you were a student of that guy because of the way that you imitated. And so here's what Jesus is saying. Be such a student of me that people see your life and the way that you walk, the way that you talk, the way that you do things, that there's not a shadow of a doubt that you're a student, a disciple of me, that you've so walked in the footsteps of what it means to be a follower of Christ. So go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. Now, what's he taught us? What has he taught us to do? Two things, pretty simple. Number one, he's taught us to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Basically, love God with everything you've got. That's the first commandment. That's pretty hard, isn't it? That sounds simple, like, oh yeah, there's only two things, and the first one is love God with all you've got, and then you're like, usually right after breakfast, we've already not done it. Right? There's been something else that we choose convenience, or we choose our agenda over that. And so in that moment that we've been disobedient, and so therefore we've chosen ourselves over him. And so the first commandment is love God, love the Lord your God with everything you've got. The second one is to show how much you love God by loving your neighbor. We're not very good at this one either. I've seen y'all at Walmart and HEB. I've seen you in traffic. I've seen, you know, man, like literally, it's hard sometimes because people are people and we like things the way we like them. And there are moments where we're just not nice even to ourselves, much less to someone else. And so the things that he's taught us to do is like, listen, be a disciple of mine in such a way that as you kick up the dust of the disciple Jesus, you begin to love God with everything that you've got and to begin to display it in such a way that it impacts how you love your neighbor and you care for them and you inconvenience yourself for your neighbor. That's our great commission, and the great commandment is a part of that. So our missionary heartbeat here at Crosspoint is from Jesus. That Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples. That means when you go to work, you're to be making disciples. That means when you go to school, that you're to be making disciples. That means when you're out playing golf, you're making disciples. That means when you go to breakfast, you're making disciples. That everything for us in Christ is an opportunity to sharpen ourselves and to sharpen others into the image of Christ, and to look and to think and to love a little bit more like Christ, to go and make disciples. And our hope is that as you're living life on mission, is there's a day where God kind of taps you on the shoulder and says, hey, your passport's ready. I need you to go to Cambodia. I need you to go to Puerto Rico. I need you to go whatever. Because here's the deal, is God has uniquely gifted you with talents, skills, education, personality, all these different things that God can uniquely use around the world, and maybe even more powerfully in other places around the world than he can even use you here. And one of the things I've seen over and over and over again is teachers that go to other places and they teach teachers in Zimbabwe or in Latvia or in other places around the world and the skills, because teachers, y'all have some trainings that y'all go to? Right? I mean, it feels like half the year is training because you're learning all these different things. And so then you go to these other places and you begin to take the resources and the tools and the things that we take for granted, we can go to other places and use them. And it has a dramatic impact upon these places through the relationships and the things that we're able to teach them. One time I was able to be in India and I spent an entire week in India. And all we did, my friend and I, Toby, we spent an entire week and we basically, it was tag team preaching. And we were there from 8 in the morning till 8 at night, 7 days. And we tag-teamed our way through Mark. You can imagine that there were people that had walked, rode their bikes, rode their mopeds, got on a train. Not many of them got on a plane at all, but they would literally travel for several days across India to get to where we were at because they had an opportunity to get some training. And Toby and I spent an entire week, day in and day out, 1 hour at a time, walking them through Mark, through the Gospel of Mark. And I think most of these guys, barely able to read, most of them are farmers and have recently come to Christ and now they're pastors of their churches. And as they begin to understand and begin to teach the gospel, they don't even know where the Gospel of Mark is. And so we're showing them where Mark is and beginning to walk them through. And so through translators, we're teaching them. And so now they have an entire year to 18 months of sermons that they didn't have before through us just teaching through Mark. Listen, I've gone to school for a long time. And it's an opportunity for us to be able to share those things. And some of you, you think, hey, I'm just a... Listen, around the world, just a is very powerful. Just a electrician, just a teacher, just a whatever. And God uses those skills around the world to make a difference, to share the gospel and to bring people to it. That you have a missionary heartbeat. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them, teaching them all the things that they've commanded. And what does it look like for us in Christ to use the resources that God's given us to go around the world and to do those things? He's given us the Great Commission and he's also given us the Great Command, which we've talked a little bit about. They were asked, they were trying to trick Jesus, and they asked him, "Teacher, which command in the law is the greatest?" In Matthew 22. And he says, listen, the first one is this, is that to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is love your neighbor as yourself. And so pretty simple stuff, and that's our missionary heartbeat. So have you ever thought about, as you look to your neighbor beside you, did you pray for them today? Did you consciously pray for them today? As you're pulling out, you got your little garage door opener thing. That's what God created on the 8th day, right? The garage door opener. And so as you're pulling out of the garage and you look to your right and to your left, did you pray for them? As you're backing up, did you pray for the people that you're backing up? You see their house, you know them maybe a little bit, begin to pray for them. That's a part of our call, is that as missionaries, to love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. Begin to see your neighbors, begin to pray for them, because there's things you may know about them already that they don't want you to know. You may have heard a little argument the other day. And so you know there's some tension over finances, over kids, or whatever. And just begin to say, hey, God, I'm going to begin to pray over that. I don't know the situation. Obviously, they don't want anything to tell me, but I'm going to begin to pray for it. I want that to be a place, a house of peace. And if Jesus is not in that house, may Jesus enter that house and begin to transform it. That's the beginning point. Some of us, we don't know our neighbors. We lived in Denver. We lived in Dallas. And sometimes it's hard to get to know your neighbors because of that invention, the garage door opener. And then also in Dallas and in Denver, they invented this thing called the privacy fence. Y'all heard of those things? And so what's crazy is that in the cities, in the suburbs too, is they build houses close enough together that if you're in the right spot in your house, you can open the window and reach out and basically shake your neighbor's hand. And because of that, we've also fought for privacy. And so we have garage door openers and we have privacy fences that keep getting higher and higher and higher. At one point, it was like 6 foot, then it was 8 foot, then it's 10 foot, and then they're like 40 feet, you know? And so the only time that you know that you actually have neighbors that are at the house is they have a kid with a trampoline, and you can see a kid every once in a while pop up, right? And so it's hard sometimes in these places to get to know your neighbor. And one of the beautiful things about a small town is sometimes we know our neighbors too well. And so one of the things that we've noticed is that if you've been around here a little bit too long, sometimes you've gotten bitten by being known. And so that somebody's gossiped about you or said something about you, whether it's true or not, whether it's maybe in a group or something, they shared something, you're like, that was a prayer request. That wasn't a gossip request. And so for us, the other part of that is to keep those things quiet that need to be quiet, but also to be sensitive to those and begin to love and to care and begin to pray. And because we've been burned doesn't mean that we need to stop. And so what does it look like for us as followers of Christ to stay true to our commission, to stay true to the command? And then finally, this last thing that I think that we've lost, and I think maybe hopefully we're beginning to get back, and it's this idea of the great compassion. The great compassion that Jesus is in the midst of his ministry. And obviously Jesus is God, and so as he's walking around, you would hope that God would have compassion upon his people. And there's several passages about this, but I think this is the one that speaks clearly to me. It says this, when he went ashore, he saw a large crowd. Now, as Jesus' ministry grew, I mean, that meant wherever he was going, people would pass the word. They would tweet, hey, Jesus is coming to town. And so people would gather around and they would wait for it. And so here he is coming across the shore, and they'd receive this. They were ready to receive him because they were hoping that they would hear good teaching, but even maybe more importantly for some of them, they were hoping for healing. And so they were trying to push their way to get to this certain point. And so the large crowd was there. And what does it say? He had compassion on them. That literally his heart broke when he saw them. Now, as God, the reason that he had compassion and his heart broke is because he knew each person's story. In the midst of the crowd, he looked across and he saw people in their eye and he knew their story. He knew that this person had been married four times. He knew that this person's spouse had just died. He knew this person's kid was hurting and all the different things. And so he saw all the hurts and pains as God. But that's also our responsibility as well as followers of Christ, is to get to know people in our life in such a way that we can weep, we can cry, and we can pray over them, that we can have compassion with them. We can have empathy. This idea of compassion and empathy is the idea that we literally put someone else's shoes on and walk in their shoes and experience as much as we can possibly experience their way and their life so that we can join them in the messiness of their life and have compassion on them and not judgment. That as we get to know people's stories, we have less judgment and more compassion. And that's what Jesus is saying here, is that for us, is that if we get to know people's stories, we get to know them, we're less likely to judge them because we know their story and their struggles, and we realize that their story and their struggles aren't that much different from mine. Some people are better at cleaning up than others. And some people are maybe a little too authentic for you. But that this idea that we are to have empathy and compassion for other people and to join them. And this is what made the early church radically different from all other religions and from all the other things throughout the world, is that Christians had compassion for people unlike any other time the world had ever seen. And so the church broke up, fast, overwhelming growth within the Roman Empire. Did it overwhelm the Roman Empire because people of all different levels of influence were receiving compassion and empathy where they were at, and they were drawn to Christ. And what does it look like for us to be able to draw to Christ? And I think we're seeing that. I know James hinted at it, and the church in Iran is growing radically because people are receiving compassion, that young ladies are able to be themselves, they can get an education, they can experience life, and they can find their worth and value. Because in Islam, especially if they begin to practice Sharia law, women are equal to dogs. And you have no rights, you have no privileges. We're even seeing it now in Afghanistan, where the Sharia law is being heavily influenced. And not only are girls supposed to be entirely covered, they can't even speak out loud. Even in their own house, they're not able to speak. And we consistently see Jesus lifting up women. And that the fact that the story of Mary and Martha, if you've been around church a little bit, you know the story of Mary and Martha. And Mary and Martha, Jesus comes over and Martha is working hard. She's cooking dinner. She's doing all these different things. And the other sister does what? She sits at the feet of Jesus. Which means that Jesus allowed her to be a disciple. Jesus allowed a woman to sit at his feet and to be taught, and this was not a common thing. And so here Jesus is saying, listen, there is an equal footing at the foot of the cross, at the foot of Jesus. Everyone can be a disciple. Everyone has equal access. Everyone has equal authority in Christ to be taught and to be a disciple. And Jesus says, listen, I am going to have compassion on all of them. Why? Because they're a sheep without a shepherd. And I don't have any sheep. but I do have a sheep herding dog. It's an Australian Shepherd, and she is phenomenal. As a matter of fact, one day, not too long ago, Becky had gone to work, and I was supposed to go to work, but she had taken off with my keys. Not her fault, my fault. And so I had to wait for her to have a break in her schedule for that to happen. Both the kids were out and gone and all the different stuff. And so I let my little sheep herding dog out and run, and she was doing her little thing. And I'd gone in house for a second, and I knew Becky was going to be home in a little bit. And so she texted and said, "Hey, I'm on my way." And I'm like, "Okay, I'll get the dog in." And the dog had never left the property before. I go outside, and I'm like, "Hey," the dog's name's Dixie May, and I'm like, "You know, Dixie May, and usually she's like, boom, she's there, she's coming in, because usually she's herding rabbits or deer or whatever. Next thing I know, I go to the front, because I don't see her, I go to the front porch, and all of a sudden I see that darn dog coming up our quarter mile driveway from the street, and she knows better, like she got in trouble. And she comes up the little thing, and I'm thinking, okay, she knows she's in trouble, she's coming up. And lo and behold, I'm about to open the front door, and then here comes 10 sheep. I didn't even know there were sheep around us. She found sheep. And so I was like, shoot, she's working. I guess we got sheep now, you know? And so I'm about to go open the back gate so she can come in, and Becky, about that time, then drives up and scares the sheep. Dixie May gave her the finger for messing up her thing. She was mad because she was working. All of a sudden, Becky drives up and scatters the sheep. And so I'm like, oh, man. And so anyway, so the sheep, we got a couple of them under control and all that stuff, but most of them scattered. And then later on, one of our neighbors came by and said, "Hey, if any of y'all have seen my sheep, I have some sheep that got out." And I was like, oh, Lord, I hope it wasn't my dog. But they were out. They'd gotten out. And so she was doing her job. I don't know how she sniffed them out, but she found him. And so I always think of this passage whenever I think about that is, listen, that there are sheep on the loose and the shepherd knows they're out of the pen and he has compassion. He wants to bring them home to a place of safety and of refuge, because our dog was like, listen, I know those sheep are out and they need to be in a safe place. And this is our shepherd. Is that if people are drawing the shore, he has compassion on them. He wants them to have compassion. He brings them into a place of safety and refuge. And for us, here's what I believe as followers of Christ. If we've experienced Jesus and we've experienced his compassion and we've experienced what it means to be a disciple of his, we know in our knower, in our soul, in our mind, that if someone doesn't know Jesus, that they are missing out on something big. And that we want them to have that. So our prayer is here at Crosspoint is that we'll keep our missionary heartbeat, that we'll stay true to the commission, the command, and the great compassion of Jesus. And then I want to leave you with the final words of Jesus, is that you, he's talking to his disciples, this is right before his ascension, it's Acts chapter 1, verses 8 and following, and he says this, you Christians, when the Holy Spirit has come on you, you will be my witnesses. In other words, you will be the ones to tell the story. In Jerusalem, which is home, and all Judea, which is Fayette County, and all Samaria, the surrounding areas, even to the ends of the earth. That as you're empowered by the Holy Spirit, that you are gifted uniquely, you have unique relationships, you have unique roles, and God has placed you in each one of those places with the authority and the friendships and the relationships, so that under the power of the Holy Spirit, when the time comes, you can be a witness, a testament to how Jesus has transformed your life. That's my prayer, is that we as a church this year live on mission. Whether it's our neighbor next door, whether it's at HEB, whether it's wherever you work, whether it's in the county or around the world, that you're ready to go. And so my challenge for that is if you don't have a passport, get one. There's going to be several mission trips this year. We're going to go to Puerto Rico again, I'm sure. Zimbabwe's on the docket as well. And so opportunities to go and serve. And so if that's something that you're interested in thinking about, please pray about it and let's talk through it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for Jesus. Father, that as you have transformed each one of our lives, Father, that we have stories, we can be witness to a changed life, to a changed heart, to a changed family because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, some of us, we've come to Christ as children. Maybe some of us, we've come to Christ as adults. Maybe some of us are in a place where we're still searching it out and seeking it out. Father, that's okay. Father, you have great compassion on all of us wherever we're at. And you want us to not be sheep without a shepherd, but you want to bring us home to a place of safety and of refuge. Father, thank you for all that you do for us. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Crosspoint Community Church podcast. It is our prayer that this message was encouraging to you as you follow Jesus. For more about Crosspoint Community Church, you can find us online at crosspointchurchtx.org. Have a great week.